Habits don't care if they're good or bad, help or hurt us. Like I said, they're just kind of, they're these things that, and we actually, most people don't realize, but we're running 97% on autopilot through habits that we've developed. For whatever reason, our brains have developed by doing something over and over and over to where it's kind of, we're now on autopilot. And it's either, like I said earlier, building this positive or negative momentum for us. It's making us happier or sadder. And what's fascinating to me is most people have no idea the habits that are killing them.
That was Will Moore, and you're listening to episode 189 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April Seifert and I'm your host. Thanks for being here. This week's episode is going to be really fun. It's on a topic that I am insanely passionate about, and I stinking can't wait to dive in, because this topic is one that impacts each and every one of us nearly every waking moment of our lives. I hope I have you curious, but before I get into what we're going to talk about today, I want to do a quick listener shout out. I want to say hello to username Jakey Shobbs on iTunes. Jakey left this review on iTunes for us. It says, "The topics addressed in this podcast regard things that everybody should focus on and work on in their lives, as it will benefit each individual greatly." I love this review. First of all, thank you. Holy cow. Every rating and review means so much to this podcast. It helps so much to increase the reach and the number of people who find this content if it's what they're looking for. So please, 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 if you have not left us a rating and a review, please go do that. But here's why I love this review so much and why I want to highlight it on this week's episode. This review talks about things that everybody should focus on and how much benefit some of these topics can have. This week's topic, habits, is one of those topics that the power of it and the influence of it is something that can't really be overstated. Something that we don't realize is how much of our lives is spent in autopilot. And really, that's by design, right? Our brains have a really big job to do. I talk about this a bit in the episode, but our brains have a big job to do. They have to take in all this information for us. They have to keep us safe. They have to, you know, work really hard on deliberative processing. I mean, they do a ton for us, right? Store memories, all of that. So it only seems logical that our brain would do as much it would move basically as much of its processing as it can to the back burner, to leave open limited capacity for the things that we really need to focus on. So our brains are really, really, really good at automating processes that they repeatedly do. So think about that really broadly. This could be behaviors. This could be thought patterns. This could be emotional patterns. All of these things can become very habitual for us. So I want you to take a really broad view of the topic of habits as we go into this week's episode, because it's, like I said, it's difficult to overstate how big of an impact this plays in our lives. So on this week's episode, we are speaking to a man named Will Moore. Will has such an interesting backstory. He came from a really rough upbringing, and he actually found himself in a rock bottom situation when he got into a physical altercation with his mom at the beginning of college. And through a series of just crazy events, he ended up reading his very first personal development book shortly after that, and that immersed him in this world of self-improvement and understanding his mind and psychology, because he realized that when he thought about the type of man he wanted to be and the type of man that other people would describe him to be, he realized that he was nowhere near on the right path to becoming that person. And so he immersed himself in things that he could do in order to get on that path. And habits were one of the biggest levers that he found that could move him to the right path. And specifically, we're not talking about completely throwing out every behavior that you have and making this massive shift in your life. Instead, we're talking about tiny, incremental, compounding habitual behaviors that you intentionally choose to move you in the direction of the person that you want to be. But we're talking about a 1% improvement, a 3% improvement on a daily basis. Just making these slight improvements and choosing each day to be slightly better and move yourself slightly more in the direction of that person you want to be. It was this approach that Will took to take him from the point that he was at rock bottom in college to the point where he recently sold his company. He built a successful company and sold it for over $300 million. And now, because of the journey he went on and because of how powerful this habit equation was for him, he's sharing this expertise with others because he wants other people to realize how much control they have over their lives through making better choices and building better habits. Specifically, he talks about 5 different areas of life. I don't want to go into them right now because you'll hear it in the episode, but it's very holistic. It's a very big 360 view of life. He talks about habits within each of those areas. We also get into a basic discussion of what habits are and what they aren't. This is such a misconception. This is one of those areas where there's a ton of misconceptions. So I'm excited that we got to clear them up. And we went into a ton of other misconceptions as well. So if you are a person who feels like, 1, you want more intention in your life, this is a great episode for you. 2, if you're a person who is struggling to make changes in your behavior or in your thought patterns, and you want to start nudging yourself in the direction of a better future, this episode is for you. And if you're a person who needs some inspiration from someone who was there, someone who hit rock bottom, dug themselves out, and is a wild success by any number of measures today, this episode is certainly for you. I'm so excited to be partnering with Will Moore on this episode, and I can't wait for you all to hear our discussion. So let's roll that tape. Will, I'm so excited that you're here for this episode of the podcast because we're going to be talking about a topic that I am extremely passionate about. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, April. I'm super pumped to be on the show.
We are today going to be talking about the topic of habits. Tell me a little bit about why you like to study the topic of habits, just what got you interested in this? Because as I mentioned, it's something I'm extremely passionate about. It impacts people's lives in more ways than they can possibly imagine. So this is just going to be a really great conversation. What got you into this?
So, you know, habits is one of these things that it's part of everybody's lives, but it's kind of like this little guy in the background that you just don't really pay much attention to, and you don't realize how powerful he is or she is. And, you know, over the years, I have been building my kind of myself up. I had this rock bottom bounce, which we'll probably talk about in a little bit, when I was in college, and I sort of decided, okay, hey, it's either down and there's nowhere else to go down, or up. And so I was like, okay, I guess the choice has been made for me. And over the years, I've been just sort of developing these different things that have been working in my life and kind of using myself as a human science experiment. And after it was all said and done, and I ended up becoming a quote unquote success in the traditional sense by, you know, from what a lot of people would consider successful, which I've now realized ironically is just one part of the success equation through business and finance by selling my company. I realized really what it was that made me successful and why I was able to get there. And it really did all stem down to these habits that I was developing. And I wasn't calling them habits necessarily, and I wasn't looking at it from a habits perspective. But when I put it all together and from the 10,000 foot view and decided this is what I want to dedicate my life to, and I want to help others to figure out how to get away from their awful time and being a victim and rock bottom bounce, let's say, for them as well, I realized that it does come down to habits. And what is it that you're doing every single day? Is that building positive or negative momentum?
Amazing. Okay, can we start with something very basic? Because I want to make sure before we hopped on to record, we talked a little bit about the fact that there are some misconceptions in this area. I want to make sure that we are all and that everyone listening to this, that we bring them onto the same jumping off point that we're at. Talk to me about what you would consider a habit. Like, what falls underneath that umbrella for you?
So a habit is, you know, habits don't care if they're good or bad, help or hurt us. Like I said, they're just kind of, they're these things that, and we actually, most people don't realize, but we're running 97% on autopilot through habits that we've developed, right? And so habits are these things that are, for whatever reason, our brains have developed by doing something over and over and over to where it's kind of, we're now on autopilot. And it's either, like I said earlier, building this positive or negative momentum for us. It's making us happier or sadder. And what's fascinating to me is most people have no idea the habits that are killing them. These 97% of their lives, you know, that they're going through. And you know, they may have some idea like, oh, yeah, I know I shouldn't eat this or I shouldn't do that. But it's like there's so many things and so many thoughts we have. And I've broken it up into these five core areas. And in each of these areas, we've developed habits and we all share these same areas. And so at the end of the day, to me, a habit is something that you look at under a microscope and say, okay, what is this thing creating in my life? If I'm doing this automatically without thinking about it, am I automatically helping myself every day or am I automatically hurting myself? And if you want to change it, it's going to be front loaded. Because habits dig in real deep. They got deep claws and they're very strong. And the more you do one of them, like a curmudgeon old grandparent, the more stubborn it's going to get and the harder it's going to be to get off your back. But if you're able to put in the work and say, okay, I know that this habit's hurting me. I need to shift over to this one over here and take that action repeatedly over and over until the law of compounding has the time to do its thing. And habits, you know, there's no magical answer for how long it takes to form a habit or break a habit. I've heard people say 2 weeks, 30 days. I've heard all sorts of things. At the end of the day, I'll tell you what I've noticed with me using myself as a human science experiment is every habit's different. And it just depends on what you're trying to develop. And so some habits are going to happen immediately you can do it within a week or so. And some might take months. It just depends, again, on how deep that habit is and how much it's connecting to your why.
I like you so much. Oh my gosh. You've already hit on a number of things just with that answer that should already be piquing people's curiosity because they go against the grain of what you might hear just in popular culture, but they're very much supported by evidence. So let's start with something that you said at the very beginning around how 97% of our behavior is it either is a habit or it is run or influenced by a set of habits. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a lot on this podcast about how our brain has a really big job, right? One of its most fundamental jobs is to keep us alive. It also has to take in all of this information from our surroundings. It's the thing that's responsible for generating and changing and modifying emotions, sending us thought patterns, really deliberative, sort of in-depth analytical thought. I mean, that's a lot. So when you think about that, the fact that we have so many habits it begins to be understandable because your brain has such a big job that what it's trying to do is back burner as much of it as it possibly can.
That's right.
Like, let's back burner so that I don't have to work as hard at this stuff that I can throw on the back burner to give me energy and time and bandwidth to focus on the stuff that I really need to, the stuff on the front burner. So I love that you brought up just the degree to which they impact our lives with this massive number, right? 97%. That's huge. I also love that you talked about how they come up in more ways than people are typically used to. So people think about maybe their eating habits or their exercise or something like that. Habits are so much more than that, right? They're behavioral. They can be thought patterns that we have. They can be emotional patterns that we have. It's anything that has a cue and just an involuntary response or less voluntary response after it. So I want people to be thinking very wide open here. And then the last thing you said is a huge misconception around habits. It takes 30 days to create a new habit. No, it doesn't. It all depends on how much friction that habit has with either creating the new one or getting rid of the old one. How enjoyable, in the immediate sense of the word, how enjoyable is that new habit that you're trying to create or that old one that you're trying to break? There are so many factors that go into how sticky a habit is. I love that you use a curmudgeon explanation. That's so perfect. There's so much that goes into that. That it's a much more complicated lens than what people give it credit for. So that answer was just beautiful and it hit on so many different things. I just had to tease them out because I don't want people to lose them in what was just an awesome and concise answer.
Love it. Well, that was great, really well said feedback on my answer that I agree with 100% on everything you said there.
We're just going to high five this whole time. This is going to be great.
Air five. Let's do it.
I love it. So you mentioned that you had a rough situation that you went through that kind of led you down this path. I'm hoping that you're willing to share that with us just from the lens of sometimes when you hear people talking about things like habit change or gratitude or any of the other things that sound like very lofty, isn't that nice of a thing for you to tell us to do? It can be really easy to sort of bat this information away as though, how do you know how hard my situation is? How do you know what it means to make such a big change? Have you ever actually gone through something difficult where you've had to do this, or are you just spouting this information off? In your case, there's something there and you've had to go through all of this on your own. And I'm hoping you can share that story with us where all of this began.
Yeah. So, right. You and I chatted briefly before this call and I said, oftentimes I feel like my story is one of those that it's a feel good in that it's not necessarily an awesome thing, what happened, but it definitely, I think, makes people feel good in the moment. Like, hey, wait, my life's not so bad. And then being able to come out of the ashes, right? Which is that's what life's about. It's movement, momentum, trying to continually take a step forward. And is life going to get us, or are we going to get life? And I can confidently say that at this stage in my life, I'm now 43 years old. Excuse me, I just turned 44. Man, I just need to stop counting, right?
It just snuck right up on you, huh?
Just snuck right up on me. I can confidently say that I love how my brain works, and I love how I'm put together now. Whereas back when I was this, I call it a fixed victim versus a growth owner. And when I was your fixed victim, before I hit my rock bottom, it was like I was so ashamed of who I was and how my brain worked and all this. So it's neat to have gone through that transformation. It doesn't happen overnight. Again, it's about habits and it's about developing the right habits. And then that's how you slowly, one step at a time, use the law of compounding to become who you want to be. So to answer your question, so my parents were hippies. My mom was an alcoholic and had a major temper. She got it from my grandfather, who was a general in World War II and the Korean War. And she actually moved around quite a bit with them. And one of the places they were stationed was Hawaii. So that's when she met my dad and they fell in love and they were smoking lots of weed. And they said, where should we go? And it was like, hey, Hawaii is cool. Why not if you're a hippie living in a van? So me and my sister, you know, we grew up in that environment, and the early years were great. You know, before I kind of knew what was going on, and I was just a young, wild kid with white hair running around Hawaii and having fun. And, you know, we lived in a really bad neighborhood. But, you know, again, it's all about you. It kind of ties into habits. You don't know something's bad until other people say it's bad, right? So it's like we lived in a neighborhood that wasn't great. We lived in this tiny little one-room place, but it was like that was my life. And so I was like, okay, this is cool. You know, I was happy. But what ended up happening is we moved. So my parents got divorced pretty early on. Then we ended up, my mom moved us to Washington, D.C., Bethesda, Maryland. And it was like a completely different alien world where I, you know, here I am, this kid with long hair, homemade haircut, bowl haircut with hair down to my shoulders and in the back, party in the back, right? In the front business, mm-hmm. you know, short. And overalls and just with talking this pidgin slang, because we went to this local school. We were actually the only white kids. It was all, they called us Howleys. It was all the locals there. And so we picked up pidgin, which is the local language in Hawaii, Shaka Bra. And we were just completely taken off guard, I think my sister and I, and treated like lepers. And people were like, who are these kids? And I was like, what do you mean? And we're awesome. Like we've all, yeah. And there was some incidents in there. I won't go into too much detail. If you read my book, you'll get the details out of it. But like I was saying, it's all about compounding. And just one incident after another led to me becoming less and less confident, less and less of a growth owner, and more of a fixed victim. And it all kind of culminated my freshman year of college. I got into this college that was in South Carolina, Furman University. And my mother and I were driving up. At this time, we were fighting like cats and dogs because I had recently become a teenager and my hormones were raging. And she's screaming at me, trying to hit me. And I'm now getting bigger than her and like grabbing her hand and be like, you can't hit me anymore. And we were in the car fighting like cats and dogs. And before I knew it, she was driving. Before I knew it, I punched her in the arm. And she just, I'd never seen this expression on my mother's face before or since. She just stopped the screaming, which was amazing because that was very hard to do when she was upset. And she just completely got quiet, pulled off the next exit. And there just happened to be a fire station that was right there with some firefighters that were outside chatting, and got out of the car and said, my son just hit me. I want somebody to call the police. And so they did. And the police showed up. Wow. They put me in the paddy wagon. I went to jail and I just sat there overnight. And it was like, you know, here I am trying to have a fresh new start. And I'm already kind of at this point in my life where I just have no confidence and feel terrible about myself. And it was just this awesome start to this, what was supposed to hopefully be this new exciting journey for me. And so I kind of went in and I took all that with me. And I, you know, sure enough, if you feel bad about yourself and if you don't have confidence and you think life sucks, that's what's going to manifest itself. And so I wasn't making friends and I was kind of isolating myself and I was super insecure. And I kind of just threw myself into my studies and into my work. And I just happened to have this professor that I really, really loved. And he reminded me of somebody that kind of gave me hope, because he's like, oh, I used to be a geek and all this stuff. And now he was like this super cool guy that everybody loved. And I was like, I want to be that guy. And he was giving a lecture, had nothing to do with the book, but he just so happened to mention a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Mm-hmm. Not sure if you've heard of that.
Yep.
And at this time, I didn't even know what self-help really was. And so I wrote it down. I went to the library right after, and they just so happened to have the book. Had they not had the book, I wonder how things would have gone, but they did. I devoured it and was like, holy shnikes, there is a different way to look at life than the way I've been looking at it. And there's, you know, I can actually have control over my life and I can become the person I want to become. And everybody has the same insecurities and fears and all these things. And so it just sort of started my journey. And then I became this insatiable self-help beast after that and was just determined to reinvent myself and create this person that I wanted to become. And again, you know, like I was saying earlier, I used myself as a human science experiment, and I was using just taking these principles that I'd learned, because life is complex, principles aren't. And so a lot of these readers and speakers and podcasts and things, well, tapes at the time that I was listening to, they all said pretty much, you know, the same thing, but in different ways. And I kind of became this crazy note taker and just tried to really just distill it down into the most basic, simple principles in life, testing it out myself, seeing how it worked, starting again all over and basically continuing to do that. And then 25 years later, here I am, and things worked out well.
That's incredible. That's a huge shift to make in in one lifetime. Something that I think is really notable about this, have you read the book, speaking of all these, you know, amazing books? It's a new-ish one, newer than How to Win Friends and Influence People, for sure. But have you read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear?
I literally knew you were going to say that, and I almost brought his name up earlier. I could tell you've read it because you used the term reducing friction, which is, he didn't invent it, but he definitely talks about that a lot. And that actually was a super inspiring book that earlier I mentioned, I kind of had been building this momentum and using myself as a human science experiment, not quite sure how to put it all together. And then when I sold my company and decided this is what I want to do with the rest of my life, I want to help others who may have been struggling and suffering the way I had and show them, hey, there's another way to live and you can be this awesome self and not just business, career and finance wise, but you can become an actual entrepreneur of the most important business you'll ever run, your life. And I read that book and it just clicked. And I was like, yes, this is what it's about. And I had these five cores, but I wasn't quite sure how to all really bring it all together in the best way. And then I just said, you know what? It's about these habits in each of these. Like, that's what we're all operating on. And so it's about stopping the habits that are killing us, that are giving us this bad momentum, and replacing them with these ones that are going to help reduce the friction and create positive momentum in our life. And so that's really what brought it all together for me. So that's so funny you brought that up.
Yay. It's such a good book. For folks who are listening to this, I would highly suggest it. Once again, it's called Atomic Habits. The author is James Clear. Here's why I brought this up. We tend to be very focused on the near term. The story you told us, this is not a 6-month story. This is not a 1-year story. This isn't something that would fit in a couch to 5K sort of amount of time. You're talking about things that you learned as a child, as a very young child, and how they morphed and deepened and changed and manifested throughout your life as you grew into a young man. And then the shift that you took from that point forward to get to where we are now as you're in your mid-40s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to let that mid-40s, right? Not like 43 where you can say early. I'm joking.
That almost sounds worse, but you're right. Technically, you are correct.
I'm so joking. I'm not far behind you.
So it could be 46. So no, let's go with 44 because I'm on the lower end of the mid-40s.
Totally. I'm allowed to make fun of us. So anyway, the point I'm making is this is a long-term game that we're all playing here. And what James Clear does a really nice job of in that book, there's a reason why he calls it Atomic Habits, because people think about making these big sweeping changes in a short amount of time. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be a different person and my life is going to be different. Instead, what is more realistic, and it certainly played out in the story that you just told us, and there's a lot of research behind it, it's making a 1%, a 5%, a 3% shift in the right direction. Because if you think about standing wherever it is you are right now, imagine you're going to travel 100 miles in a straight line. If you shift 3 degrees to your left, think about how much further away from that original endpoint you'll be if you travel in that straight line for 100 miles.
Yeah.
We're talking about making these little shifts, which are much easier to do. They're much more likely to be successful. Making these little shifts so that the outcome, the long-term trajectory, is moving in the direction we want it to move. So I want to say that to people because it's another misconception. This is not about... I'm like showing my age now. We're just going there in this episode. But it's not about like a waiting to exhale moment where you like light the car on fire and walk away and everything's different from that moment forward. It's incremental. It's a small shift and a small change over time. So I want people to have that in their mind as you go into these five cores, because this is not about throwing everything out. It's about incrementality. Okay, so now I'm completely curious and would love for you to dive into what these five core areas are and how you see habits playing a role in each of them.
Absolutely. So right before I do that, I just love what you said. And yeah, I mean, it just reminds me of how, you know, the equation, I call it the equation of life. And I kind of took the equation of life from several different books, and it took me a while to come up with it. I actually only came up with it about two years ago. And it's what I call your belief system plus your repeated actions plus time equals who you will become. And the analogy you gave of shifting a couple degrees, it might help your viewers and listeners to think about it in terms of an airplane. If you started in LA and you wanted to get to New York, but you shifted the plane 3 degrees, you know, you might end up in Florida, right?
Right. Atlanta or something. Like, yeah.
Right. And it's that law of compounding. So your belief system, whatever you believe, whatever your operating system is going off of, which again, you want to get that. If it's operating off of bad habits, you want to shift it to good habits. Plus your repeated actions, but you know, you got to keep doing them until they become ingrained in you. Plus time, again, that law of compounding we're just talking about, it's not going to happen overnight, equals who you will become. I mean, I can't put it any more simply than that. And there's no way to cheat that system. It is what it is. And if you accept it and you use it to your advantage, you're going to go places. But if you try to ignore it and find workarounds, you know, and cheat it, you're screwed.
Pardon yeah. me. No, you're absolutely right, because our belief systems are some of the most core. There's a lot of words that we can use here. Motivators. They're some of the most core cues in terms of like cueing or triggering our behavior or our thought patterns. They're also some of the most influential lenses through which we see the world. So what information we will even notice, or what cues will even potentially impact us. And when I say cue, I just mean the thing in our environment or the thing that we encounter that sparks an action in one direction or the other. So seeing a cupcake maybe makes you hungry for something sweet, versus waking up in the morning and seeing your running shoes. If you're in that habit, that just spurs you in the direction of running in the morning. So cues are these really powerful things in our environment. But if you have a lens on that hides a certain set of cues, good or bad, you're going to be influenced one direction versus the other. So I love that you have beliefs in there. I also love that you have repeated action. It is one thing to say that you are going to be the type of person who makes healthy choices, or I'm going to be the type of person who honors my commitments, or whatever it is that you want to say you are. You aren't that until you start behaving in that direction. Do you have to get it 100% right? No. But there is a behavioral component to it that has to happen in order to cement those beliefs and cement that new direction for you.
Right. And if you're taking action on the wrong things, you're headed in the wrong direction, and you may not realize you're doing it, but that's going to compound and you're going to go somewhere you don't want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this whole equation is great to keep in mind as we go into these five core areas. Can you run us through those?
Yeah. So the first one is your mindset, and it's the big one. You're going to want to hold on to that one. So your mindset is your overall perception. It's your confidence. It's your attitude. You got to get that one going for you. And then the other ones kind of put it this way. You don't have to have that 100% going, but you've got to start getting that in the right direction and working on that. And that's why I start the book with it, and I start my teachings with it. You've got to start seeing things, and for lack of a better cliche, the glass half full versus half empty. And like I was saying, when I hit my rock bottom, I saw my life is my brain's broken. I suck. There's nothing I can do about it. And I went from that fixed victim to now today, I'm what I call a growth owner, where I'm like, I know I have everything. Obstacles are temporary roadblocks. Failure's mandatory. I welcome it so that I can learn how to become bigger, better, faster, stronger. So let's go. And that's, you know, that's kind of your mindset. And it's also taking fear and giving it the finger and saying, you know what? You're going to get most people, but you aren't going to get me, because fear is the number one thing that slows our momentum. And it keeps you from taking those actions that are going to propel you in life and make you feel and bring you to where you want to be. And if you let fear freeze you, which most people do, you know, right? They go, oh, that looks kind of scary. I'm going to go this way. And if you don't figure out a way to say, okay, you know what, it's there, I'm going to push through it and face it head on, then you're never going to experience that true, for lack of a better word, awesomeness that you could, you know, you become your best self, let's say.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. We don't give enough credit to the degree to which we have a choice over what our mindset is. This is one of the reasons why we named Peak Mind what we did, the Center for Psychological Strength, because this is something that you can develop and work on. It's something that you can get stronger at. And that fear threshold, think of it as the threshold over which you're not able to keep moving forward, right? We can all handle a little bit, a moderate amount of fear, a small amount of fear. We can be a little nervous and keep going. But right. At some point you hit the threshold where you can't go any further. The active ability to keep bumping that threshold up, and it requires running into it over and over again. It will move. Trust me, it will move. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. You have a choice, and that choice comes in the degree to which you're willing to take actions that might not feel great in the moment, but are definitely helping you later on.
Exactly. Exactly right. And it goes back to that front-loaded stuff I was talking about, right? So at first, it's going to be really uncomfortable. But the more you push and the more you push through it, the more you realize, wait, that's not so scary. That's not so bad. It's just the idea of it that's bad, right? And then it's you keep taking that action on it. And before you know it, it's like the number one fear, right, is public speaking, they say. What's the best way to become a good speaker? Not by just thinking yourself into it. You've got to take action and actually do it. And the more you do it, the more you'll learn from your, and if you have the right, you do have to have the right mindset too going into it, right? You have to say, okay, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall on my face. That's part of the thing. I'm going to learn and I'm going to grow and I'm going to watch others and what they do and how they do it. And I'm going to, each step, I'm going to get better and better and better. And that's how you become a good speaker. You can't just snap your fingers and do it.
Absolutely agree. Okay. So core area number one, mindset.
Number one. Number two is career and finances. So this is what I was mentioning earlier. You know, I ended up having that quote unquote success in this one, which I'm kind of using ironically. I'm coming in the side door now with people and I've got that credibility to where people will actually listen to me now because we sold our company for $323 million. And they're like, okay, that guy must know what he's talking about. But ironically, it was in doing so that made me realize what life is really about. But I'm going to use that to come in the side door to show people how to become not just an entrepreneur or of you know, in business and learn how to manage your and grow your business, but to become, like as I said earlier, an entrepreneur of your life, how to master these different areas. So the career and finances, it's just one fifth of the equation, but it is important. And when it comes to career and finances, you know, there's just this societal skew of how we all look at it. And, you know, there's, you know, since we were born, it's been this constant sort of what we see in society and news and media and friends, and everybody, it's like, everybody just wants to make as much money as possible. And they think if they just can get enough money and become successful enough, then they can sit on a beach one day and really enjoy life and, you know, sip that pina colada. But it's like, no, you've got it all wrong. Like, it's the journey. It's the movement. It's the setting goals, reaching them, reaching the next one. Like, there is no stopping point. And it kind of reminds me of, there's this app that's since been removed from the Apple Store. It was the super quintessential thing that I needed at the time in my life. I discovered this probably like 8 years ago. And like I said, it's gone now, but I was able to print out a screenshot of it and I have it hanging on my vision board as we speak. And at the top of it, it was, you clicked on this app. It said the meaning of life. You open it up and there's one simple image. There's no description. There's no nothing. It was literally just an image. And at the top, it said, we strive for more. And then there was a semicircle arrow and with the word because pointing to the bottom. And then at the bottom, it said, we feel dissatisfied. And then another semicircle arrow pointing to the top, it says, because we strive for more. So we strive for more because we feel dissatisfied, because we strive for more, because we feel dissatisfied. So it's this never ending loop. And at first that can be extremely depressing. I remember when I first read that, I was like, wait, so you're telling me that no matter how much I get, I'm never going to be satisfied and I'm always going to want more. But I've actually based my whole system and my life around that and used it as a positive, which is basically you've got to keep moving. You've always continually got to be setting goals and figuring out how to get there. And that is what life's about. That's what makes you happy. It's that space in between. It's not the goal itself. Mm-hmm. that's going to make you happy. Yeah, it's going to feel good for 10 seconds. Just like when I sold my business for 20 seconds, it was like, hell yeah. But then it was like, now what? Right. And whereas most people be like, what do you mean now what? You just sold your company for all this business. You don't have to work anymore. Like, yeah, but that's not what makes people happy. Sitting around and doing nothing.
Right. Are you just done now? You just go home and you're just done now. Like you make no more contributions. What kind of a life is that? Right.
It's an awful life. And it's just so funny to me how many people just they don't get that part. They think they focus on this career and finance part. Right. So just kind of bringing it back so we can move on to the other course, because I know we run out of time. The career in finance, you got to make sure whatever you're doing for a living, the key is to make sure you understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, understand that everybody has both, and your strengths are yours and your weaknesses are yours, and they're no better or worse than anybody else's. You need to learn what they are. You need to focus on your strengths. You need to outsource and figure out workarounds around your weaknesses, not to be shameful of them. Just figure out how to get around them, because you don't want to make that the center of your life if you're not good at something, right? We all have these natural things. Figure out what your passions are, like what gets your juices flowing, what revs your engine, what do you really get excited about? Combine that with those strengths, outsource those weaknesses, set goals, set a purpose and say, okay, this is where I want to end up and where I want to be in 1 year, 3 year, 5 years. Ultimately, I know that at my funeral, and a fast track way to do this is to flash forward to your funeral and say, what do I want said at my funeral? To me, it's the absolute best way to figure this out, because people are like, I don't know what I want to do. It's like, okay, you're dead. Somebody's eulogizing you. What do you want them to say about you? What kind of person were you? And so the way I do it in my system is I break it down into the five cores. And I say, what do you want somebody to say about you, about your mindset? What do you want them to say about your career and finances, and so on? So, when it comes to the career and finance part of it, it's okay. Yes, money's important. You got to have it. You can't be homeless. But you got to make sure you're enjoying what you're doing to get it. And then when you do get it, there's so many ways to compound it. And speaking of law of compounding, I mean, you asked me, would I rather have a dollar doubled a day for 30 days or $1 million? Most people immediately say $1 million. But no, it's that dollar a day doubled for 30 days comes out to be like $5 million, right? And so it's making, mm-hmm. it's getting your money working for you. There's all sorts of tips and strategies to do that. We don't have time to get into them, but that's what I help people do as well. So that kind of covers the career and finance part of it.
Here's something that I don't want people to miss on this, because I can anticipate this. I can anticipate people saying, that's easy for you to say. You're in a position now where you don't have to work. It's easy for you to say you want to keep contributing because there's no pressure on you, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. One of the most fundamental, well-researched, well-supported theories of think well-being, living what is called, quote, the good life, was done by the OG of positive psychology himself, Martin Seligman, and he has a theory or a framework that takes into account five different areas that need to be present, that you need to have in your life at all times in order to feel like you're doing well. And we focus on one of those, and that's positive emotion. And it's important. It's one of the five factors, right? You have to have this. Positive emotion is there. But listen to what the other four are. Engagement, relationships, meaning positive, deep relationships, meaning, and accomplishment. Think about what it would mean to those five things if you said now, I sold my company, I don't have to work anymore, wiping my hands of it, I'm done. This means very probably a lot less engagement, meaning sense of flow, feeling like you're really engrossed in what you're working on. Less engagement, less meaning, doing something bigger than yourself is very meaningful, and a lot less accomplishment. There's something incredible about small wins along the way of building a company that feels incredible. So
that's exactly right.
For folks who are like, oh, that's so easy for you, think about what that would do to you and then to anybody else who thinks that that's the situation they want to be in. You're going to be missing more than half of the factors that you absolutely need, data showing it, that you absolutely need in order to feel like you are stable and doing well. That's not a situation anybody wants to be in. So I just had to interject and like throw that nerd point in there, because I don't want somebody to pass off what you just said because of the unique circumstances you're in. This would be the situation anybody would be in. You would want to continue striving because you have to as a human being.
Right. And again, right. I love that. How you just said that. And, it's the way that I got here that's kind of the whole point, right? Like, I didn't have it handed to me. If I had it handed to me, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I had to blood, sweat, and tears to get here and learn what it meant to be happy and successful along the way. And like I said, ironically, when I got that big paycheck that I'd been chasing my whole life, and, you know, in college, I remember to this day thinking, I'm going to become so filthy, stinking rich, I'm going to make them all pay, that they're going to feel so bad for being so mean to me, right? That's that typical victim mentality. But at the same time, revenge is a great motivator, right? So that kind of helped kickstart me. And then as I'm going on my journey, I'm reading all these books and I'm seeing what life is really about, like you said, relationships, physical health, emotional health, and giving back, which are the three other cores we haven't even got into. But, you know, it's all of it that comes together. And if you're just focusing on one part, if you're not balancing your life and figuring out, oh, these are important over here, and I need to make sure that I'm paying attention to those, no matter how much money, no matter how great your career is, no matter where you rise to as a position, you'll never be happy.
Totally agree. I mean, it's a holistic approach that I think it's easy to miss the individual components of and not give them the weight that they deserve. That's why I love how holistic these five core areas are. I want to make sure that we say them all just in a row, just to kind of summarize. So what I heard from you is mindset, career and finances, relationships, physical and emotional health, and giving back. Did I get all those right?
Very close. I know it can be a little confusing. So yeah, it's mindset, and then it's career and finances. And then the third one is relationships. The fourth one is physical health on its own. And then the fifth one is emotional health and giving back. I was just going to have it be emotional health, but to me, it's not obvious enough that giving back is part of your emotional health, which it is. So I kind of added that in there as a kicker, because at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing in life, if you're not getting outside of your own self to sort of say, what can I contribute to the world? How can I make this world a better place than when I came in it? You know, am I just going to lie, cheat, steal my way through, and then just try to get away with as much as I can? I guarantee you, lying on your deathbed, it's going to be a sad, sad day, and there's not going to be anybody there to even eulogize you. Mm-hmm. But if it's like, this guy was all about making sure the people around him and others that he didn't even know were happy and successful themselves because he was beaming with it, and he wanted to share that with others and show people, hey, trust me, it's possible. If I did it, you can do it. And, you know, not to sound cheesy, but that's how it went for me. And I'm telling you, you cannot have a worse mindset than I had when I was entering college. And the fact that I was able to turn it around and go from, you know, what I did to this, and again, it wasn't overnight, but now I'm showing people, like, look, it took me 25 years to do it. It's not going to happen overnight for you either, but it's going to be a lot less than 25 years, because I'm going to show you kind of the main things that I learned along the way through my own blood, sweat, and tears. You're going to have your own as well, but I'm going to give you the fast track to do it.
I love it. I love it. I love the sense of I've gotten there and I'm going to reach behind me and help pull some other people up on that same path. How do people get started? Like, you've got somebody hooked. They're like, okay, cool. I'm in this terrible situation. I want to start building the habits that will lead me in the right direction. This is overwhelming. There are five areas. There's so much going wrong in each of them. How do you get started?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Weird, huh?
First of all, let me say I've got nothing to sell. I've been working on a book for 25 years since the day I read How to Win Friends and Influence People. I didn't realize until about 10 years ago this was going to become a book. But as I said, I'm taking all of these thousands of pages of notes. And I'm not kidding you. If you saw the notes I had, it used to be paper back in the day. And then when cell phones came out, now it's, you know, it became all digital and computers. And so I'm taking all that. I'm trying to put it into a simple, fun, hey, come along with me for the ride. Here's some personal fun stories to exemplify my points type of journey, and to help you shine a spotlight on where you stand in each of your core areas. So I'm giving examples and I'm showing the most common things that people do. Again, it's these universal principles that have been around since the beginning of time and are going to be around till the end. And that's what you want to develop your habits off of and take action. If you're just being pulled in a million directions by this ad or that person or this one, you know, we're in a broken society, and it's got to be fixed. And part of what I'm doing and my mission and what I'm all about, is trying to kind of help fix that and help shift people the way we're being educated, the way that our parents raise us, the way that our peers talk to us, the way that we perceive and take media in, and all these things. So along with the book, I'm developing an app as well. And the app is, I'm beyond excited about, because to me, this is taking these failure devices that I call them in our hands. And don't get me wrong, I love technology and it's fantastic. And you know, especially now with what's going on in the world, having it is super fantastic. But a lot of us use these phones that we have for the wrong things that are building negative momentum, right? It comes down to these habits. What are you using your phone for? Are you scrolling through social media all day, comparing yourself to others, feeling bad, looking at these Photoshopped, you know, perfect pictures and being like, why isn't that me? Or why didn't my husband bring me those flowers like this girl did? You know, meanwhile, you have no idea what's going on behind the story. And so I'm taking these devices and I'm saying, how can we use these for good? How can we actually build positive momentum with them? So the app is going to essentially be a habit builder, but it's going to be gamified. It's going to be addictive, but addictive in a good way. And then when you're leveling up on screen, you're also leveling up in real life. And so the main gist is you're this rocket ship and you've got these five cores that are your thrusters of your engine, and you want to be firing on all cylinders. You need to be balancing. You need to be making sure that you got your mindset, your career and your finances, your relationships, your physical health and your emotional health and well-being, that you're focusing on all of them. You don't have to do it all at the same time, but you need to make sure that overall, the big picture, you're not neglecting any of these areas. And so you'll be going to different planets and through different galaxies. You'll be meeting aliens. You'll be upgrading your ship. You'll be doing all these things. And each time you keep a habit, you make this commitment to yourself and you keep it, you're going to get rewarded. And I can't be more excited about it. And I'm hoping that'll be ready in the next 5 to 6 months.
I love it. That's awesome. I mean, it's funny. This is a complete sidebar. This is from my day job work, where I still do a lot of psychology work in my day job. But I'm reading this book on behavioral design, where it's basically applying the principles of psychology more to AI and app development and product development and other types of things like that. But there's a really big focus on digital products in this work. And gamification is such a big part of it. And using some of the factors that make, say, casinos addictive, but in the opposite direction than you'd typically want to go, or other substances addictive, how do we use those same levers to help people in an addictive way, but move in the right direction? So I love all of that. I love the way that you're developing it.
Yeah, there's this really cool book that I actually read after I'd started doing all this. It's called Hooked by Nir Eyal.
I probably
butchered that name. But that kind of goes into that. You know, it talks about how we become addictive and, you know, what it means and why our brains, you know, it talks about the psychology or the reason, the why behind it. And my book also goes into that. And at the end of the day, you've got to connect. If you really want to make a change, you have to connect with the why on why it makes sense to change. And so that's why it's so important for me to understand for people. And because you can't just say to somebody, hey, you need to lose weight because it's not good, right? They need to really want to. They need to connect with why does it make sense for me to lose weight? Why do I really want to? And when they connect with that and they make a commitment to themselves and they say, no matter what, I'm going to keep my commitment, that's how you make real change. Because then, it goes back to the law of compounding and habits. You do it over and over, and all of a sudden, you know, you went from your midnight snack being donuts and cereal to a healthier alternative that you actually ends up becoming just as gratifying, if not more so, because you know it's actually not bad for you, right? And so it's like at first you're eating the trail mix and you're like, this isn't as good as a donut. Right? This sucks. But it's like, if you know that eventually that trail mix is literally going to start changing taste and it's going to take on a life of its own, and then it's going to be helping you to build that positive momentum in your physical core, and you're going to feel good about yourself, and you're going to get full, and you're going to have that like, that was a nice little snack. It just changes the whole ballgame.
Absolutely. I'm curious about your definition of psychological strength. With this background and with all your building and the intention that you're putting into it, what does it mean to you for somebody to be psychologically strong?
So I would basically tie it to that first and biggest core, your mindset. You know, it's psychologically strong to me is kind of fits into everything we were saying with the mindset core, and every other core sort of revolves around it. If you're not psychologically strong, slash, if you don't have a strong mindset, that growth owner where you're like, I have everything within me to kick ass, take names. I've got strengths. I'm going to play upon them. And I am going to push through any obstacle that's just a temporary roadblock that's getting in my way. I'm going to fail forward. I'm going to learn from my mistakes. I'm going to give fear the finger because it's just trying to stop me. And if I can push through to the land, I call it the 5 versus the 95 percenters, right? So you've got 95 percent of people that are going to most likely typically let fear stop them because they don't know otherwise. They just, it's that it's a natural instinct and it's biological. The saber-toothed tiger was coming to eat us. And you're like, oh, no, I need to go the other direction. Right. But it's not a saber-toothed tiger anymore. But we still have that same physiological reaction and it's killing us. And so to be psychologically strong means to be able to basically be able to see yourself from a 10,000 foot view and say, this is where I want to be. And I am going to do these things no matter what. I'm going to make a commitment and I'm going to have the discipline to follow through with them until my mind literally starts working for instead of against me.
Oh, man. That point, I could go right down a rabbit hole with that. But what I'll say is there's a reason why, and you just articulated it beautifully. There's a reason why we say your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. You get to pick which direction it goes for you. So that was just beautiful. I'm freaking out. I could talk to you for probably another 3 hours. As you all can probably tell, this is getting to be a lengthy interview because I'm so passionate about this topic. Sure. Where can people learn more so that I don't end up keeping you on the line for 2 hours and people are in their cars like, are you joking? This is a ridiculously long interview. Where can we learn more?
Yeah. So speaking of more, my last name is Moore. This movement is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to create a movement where my ultimate goal is help others become the best version of themselves so they can in turn pay it forward to help the world become the best version of itself. And it may sound kind of cheesy, but again, it starts with just like your habits, one action at a time. It starts with one person at a time. And the more, if everybody were to live what I call the 5 core life and be firing on all cylinders, we would not have war. We would not have teenage suicide being at an all-time high because they're looking at these other people feeling bad about themselves on social media. All these racism, hatred, prejudice, all these things would sort of go away. And I know that sounds to some people that are like, get over yourself. That's ridiculous. I promise you, if you live these cores and if you develop the habits and you follow the principles that have been again since the beginning of time and the end, and they're going to be around till the end, you are going to kind of have that life that you want. And so More Momentum is the name of the movement. It's the name of the website, M-O-O-R-E, momentum.com. And that's pretty much where you can go to find all the info on me. I've got my social media links there. I've got a blog you can sign up for. And what's really cool is there's a quiz on there. So if you want to kind of really quickly see where you stand in each of your 5 core areas, you can just go ahead and take the quiz. It's a free life core evaluator. And you literally just go through. It's got 3 questions for each core. And you can kind of get a really brief overview of where you currently stand in each of your cores and what you need to start taking action on.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I mean, that as just an initial place to start, just an initial bit of self-awareness about how balanced we might be across these 5 areas is such a huge gift of value. And we'll definitely be watching for when your app comes out. Actually, when it does come out, we should have you back on so you can talk about it a little bit more in more depth, because we've got a lot more that we could discuss. I know this for a fact. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on, for sharing your story, both the good, the bad, and the ugly, for talking about, you know, such an area that is so impactful to so many people's lives, and for doing it in a way that is understandable and approachable. That's not always how we encounter this information. So, Will, this has just been awesome, and I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you, April, for having me. This has been a blast. I've truly enjoyed our conversation and your insights. I learned some stuff today, so thank you for that.
Yay, that's awesome.
Tell me if this sounds like you. I'll finally be happy. I'll finally take a breath. I'll finally find some balance when I get through this crazy season of life.
We hear that from so many people, and the fact is, many times, life is just a crazy season. All of it. Between your career, your family, your community obligations, attempting to have a social life, and trying to fit in self-care, whatever that is, we end up feeling stretched so thin. Now, I want to challenge you to think about things differently. Rather than focusing on external circumstances and their impact on your happiness, your sense of ease and balance, and your mental well-being, what if instead you focused on something you can actually control? What if you built the psychological strength that would allow you to thrive through life when things are going well and even when they're not? What if you could feel less scattered, more in control, less anxious, more peaceful and joyful? We want that for you too. That's why we are so beyond excited to announce the beta release of our signature psych strength building program, Ascend. This program combines evidence-based tools, techniques, and information from the fields of psychology and life design to focus on three important modules: you, your mind, and your life. Learn your unique combination of strengths, values, and identity, and the ways in which they interact and lead you to approach life in your unique way. Dig into your mind to understand the conscious and subconscious processes that act as a lens through which you experience life. And finally, harness the power of life design to begin to steer your life into alignment with who you uniquely are. Enrollment in this beta round of Ascend is open now, and because it's our beta round, the price is astonishingly low. So if you have ever had even a suspicion that you could benefit from building psychological strength through a guided, science-backed experience, now is the time. Visit www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend for more information and to join us. Friends, it is time to build psychological strength. It's time to live by design and not by default. It is time to live like your life depends on it, because it does. Join us in Ascend by visiting www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. That's www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength. But not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so, but today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.